Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Father God, for a new day. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, lifting up the name of Jesus, thanking you, Lord God, that you will never leave us or forsake us. You will be with us in our good, our bad, and our ugly. Lord God, we thank you for this rhema word that is going forth, Father, as you increase and I decrease. Father God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. But Lord God, you are my strength and my redeemer. And I give this word to you, asking you, Lord God, speak to me and let me speak only what you deem worthy. In Jesus' name, Lord, I lift up this word. I lift up all listeners, live and later, Lord God, and ask you to watch over them and to bless them. Lord, I ask you to bless those that travel the highway and byways, asking you, Lord, to give them traveling grace and mercy. And Father God, as you bless them, I pray, Lord God, your blessings on all those in need, oh God. And I ask you, Father, to guide and lead in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We have some great word this morning. I couldn't think of what to put down because it was just so good. So I just said, okay, God, what do I do? And I heard God fulfill his promises. He is faithful to perform them. Hallelujah. God fulfills his promises. He is faithful to perform them. What a mighty God we serve. And our word today, we're coming out of Esther, chapter 5 and chapter 6, through chapter 6, verse 14. We will also be coming out of the 90th Psalm, verses 1 through 6, as well as Proverbs 20, chapter 22, verse 9. And our title is coming out of Romans. In our word this morning, hallelujah, the word will speak for itself. We all know on yesterday in Esther was going through. She was going through because, you know, Mordecai was in grief already, thinking that the Jews would be destroyed because of an order Haman got from the king with his sneaky snake self. Slithered in, praised up the king, and got this decree to kill the Jews. Not understanding that the queen was a Jew, he was so busy hating on Mordecai, because Mordecai said, I'm bowing down to you. And we know good and well that we don't bow down to any man. We bow down to God, and that is it, period. Put a pin in it. Folks will hate you because they see something in you that they wish they had. And in this particular case, Mordecai had integrity. Haman does not. Mordecai loved God. Haman does think he's a God. And so all these things was happening. But God, again, fulfilled his promises. He is faithful to perform them. Esther didn't ask to go see the king until she fasted. And I'm sure that as she fasted, she was praying. And all those that she requested to pray, to fast, she asked that. The word pray or God is not in the book of Esther. Each one is an assumption. And in this particular case, you can assume that prayer was going on with that fasting because God answered. And God will also show in the dark will always come into light. So let's get into our word. Hopefully everybody has gotten there. We are in Esther chapter 5. I am coming out of the New King James Version. And again, I do this every day. This is Blog Talk Radio. You are listening to Moving Forward with Minister Bridget. And we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. And it is a daily Bible study. So this is Bible study. This is where you get the word in its entirety in context. I don't add to it and don't take away from it. What God's word says is what God's word says. And we need to listen to what God says. Again, God is faithful to perform. God's going to do it. Might not be in our time, but it will happen. So let's get into this word. It says what? Now, it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robe and stood in the inner court of the king's palace across from the king's house while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house facing the entrance of the house. So it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court that she found favor in his sight and taking help, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter. Because remember, king does not hold out the golden scepter to you who come unannounced into the king's presence. You can die. So the king held out the scepter to her, which is going to cause her to live. And whatever it is that she's coming for, the king is ready to hear. And the king said to her, what do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you up to half the kingdom. So Esther answered, if it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I have prepared for him. And the king said, bring Haman quickly that he may do as Esther has said. So the king and Haman went to the banquet that Esther had prepared. At the banquet of wine, the king said to Esther, what is your petition? It shall be granted you. What is your request? Up to half the kingdom. It shall be done. Then Esther answered and said, my petition and request is this. If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, then let the king and Haman come to the banquet which I will prepare for them. And tomorrow I will do as the king has said. So Haman went out that day joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate and that he did not stand or tremble before him, he was filled with indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home. And he stood and called for his friends and his wife Zeresh. Then Haman told them of his great riches, the multitude of his children, everything in which the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the officials and servants of the king. Moreover, Haman said, besides Queen Esther invited no one but me to come in with the king to the banquet that she prepared. And tomorrow I am again invited by her along with the king. Yet all this avails me nothing so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Then his wife Zeresh and all his friends sit on gallows be made 50 cubits high in the morning, suggest to the king that Mordecai be hanged on it, then go merrily with the king to the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, so he had the gallows made. You know, bold, just bold and nasty, not understanding that what God promises, he will fulfill. God will fulfill his promise. He's faithful. And Mordecai was faithful to God. And God will be faithful to Mordecai. Esther was faithful to God. And God will be faithful to Esther. When we are faithful to God, God performs his miracles for us. As I spoke on the other day about my water heater and how I didn't have hot water. But God made those heaters start working like it ain't never worked before. Water coming out like it's never come out before. I'm like, look at God, won't he do it? Yes, he will. When we are faithful, and he always keeps his promises. But it starts with what? Prayer. We got to pray. Pray in the morning. Pray in the afternoon. Pray in the evening. Pray all day long when you think of the goodness of God. Pray and say, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for all you will do. Thank you, Lord, for just keeping this planet still here. Thank you, Lord, that a meteorite didn't hit us, didn't destroy us, didn't take us out in our sin. We thank you, Lord, for this paradise that you've given us. Help us to take care of it, to do what we're supposed to do, to say what we're supposed to say, to live as we are supposed to live as sons and daughters of the Most High God. We got to give God some glory. But understand, God will bring back to remember whatever good you have done. And let's go into our word and see what God brings back to the remembrance of the King. Hallelujah. God will bless your spirit. You won't be able to sleep when there's something that God needs you to do. You'll get a tingling in your hand. And you just wonder, okay, Lord, what's going on? It will wake you up because you got an assignment to do for God. Hallelujah. So let's see what happens. And it says in chapter 6 of Esther, and I'm going to say it, y'all. Y'all know I'm going to say it. It is a great word this morning. Oh, it's a great word. And it said that night the king could not sleep. So one was commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthaniah and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, the doorkeepers who had sought to lay hands on King Xerxes or Ahasuerus. Then the king said, what honor or dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai for this? And the king's servant who attended him said, nothing has been done for him. So the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace and suggested that the king hang Mordecai, to suggest that the king hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. What a snake. The king's servant said to him, Haman is there, standing in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king asked him, what shall be done for the man whom the king delights to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, there's that prideful heart, that I'm all that spirit. and understand when you get a proper heart and I'm an all-that spirit, God will tell you anointed. Touch not my anointed. And that's what the word said. Haman thought he was going to touch the anointed of God and kill him on some gallows. Not today, Satan. Not today. And let's keep it going. And then it goes on to say, now Haman thought in his heart, who would the king delight to honor more than me? And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delights to honor, let a royal robe be brought from. Hold on, let me go back here. Let me get it right, because I want to miss anything. Let a royal robe be brought which the king has worn, and a horse on which the king has ridden, which has a royal crest placed on it, its head. Then let this robe and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, and that and he may array the men whom the king delights to honor and parade him on horseback through the city square and proclaim before him, thus shall it be to the men whom the king delights to honor. Then the king said to Haman, hurry, take the robe and the horse as you have suggested, and do so for Mordecai. The Jew who sits within the king's gate, leave nothing undone of all that you have spoken. Bam! The Lord will make your enemy your footstool. Don't play with God and don't mess with his anointed. Hallelujah. Woo, Lord, talk about a humbling of a proud spirit. You got to bow before me because I am. Who? I'm Haman, and I got it going on. I got it going on. Bow before me. Tremble and be afraid. When I walk by, you bow. If I walk by, you stand. You give me homage because I'm just as much your king as the king. Come on now. He was all that and had elevated himself. Come on now. Manipulated a king for his own gain. And made assumptions that it's got to be me. Everything he wanted, God gave to Mordecai. Woo, praise the Lord, y'all. And I love this, and it says in verse 11, so Haman took the robe and the horse, arrayed Mordecai, and led him on horseback through the city square, and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Afterwards, Mordecai went back to the king's gate, but Haman hurried to his house in the morning and with his head covered. When Haman told his wife Zeresh and all his friends everything that had happened to him, his wise men and his wife Zeresh said to him, if Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of Jewish descent, you will not prevail against him, but will surely fall before him. While they were still talking with him, the king's eunuch came and hastened to bring him to the banquet with Esther, which Esther had prepared. Woo! He knew. He knew. Once this happened, oh, shoot. I done asked the king to kill Mordecai and all his people. What do you think going to happen to me? Whoa! And understand whatever the king has said is irrevocable. He cannot change it. He cannot take it away. It's irrevocable. But what do you think is going to happen to Mordecai the snake? Mordecai is worse than a sneaky snake. And as we go back to life lessons that Dr. Stanley has given us, for Esther. And again, I will say this. If you do not have this Bible, you need to pick it up. You know, right now there are Bible book sales going on the internet, on Amazon, on ChristianBooks.com. You need to get this Bible. Again, not being paid by InTouch Ministries to hawk this Bible, but I will tell you, it is worth every dime you pay for this Bible. It is a great word. And it says to us in Life Lesson, Dr. Stanley, that if it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I have prepared for him. As it demonstrates, as well as anyone, in Scripture, the wisdom of God's word, when it tells us to honor those who deserve honor, such as the king. Romans 13:1-7 and 1 Peter 2 honors us when we honor his word. Come on now. And it says, King Joseph of restless fear. God was vexing his heart because God, again, was getting ready for such a time as this. He was getting ready to change some things. Hallelujah. He was getting ready to hear from the voice of God. Oh, can I say it again? He was getting ready to hear from the voice of God. Often uses a restless spirit to get a person's attention. After Haman tricked King Ahasuerus, or Xerxes, into signing an edict for the annihilation of the Jews, the king could not sleep. Because of his restless spirit, he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king, Esther 6:1. That night, Xerxes discovered that Mordecai had earlier saved the king's life, and in the end, Mordecai was honored, and Haman died on the gallows, so you can't do dirt and get away with it. God frequently uses a persistent restlessness to direct us. This type of restlessness, originates in the deepest aspect of a person's being and persists over time. Have you been restless where you just feel like you toss and then you turn and you can't sleep because something is bothering your spirit? Whatever that something is, give it to God. Whatever it is, give it to God. If you toss, if you turn, if you can't get a good night's sleep because you're just worrying all the time, give it to God. Oh, hallelujah. Our Lord recognizes who we are. He knows our heart. He knows our mind. He knows our spirit. He knows everything about us. And he will make you restless when there's something you need and must do. Thanking God this morning for this mighty word. And then it goes on to tell us, when you have that feeling, stop and ask the Lord what he is trying to say. Spend extended time in the word and in prayer. Set aside a block of time to be quiet. Whew. To be quiet. Sitting here in that quiet minute, just thinking of the goodness of God. Whew, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I felt that all the way down to, as they say, I felt it down my pinky toe, that God keeps his promise. He is faithful to fulfill everything he said he would do. All we have to do is sometimes sit and be quiet and just listen to the voice of God. Did you hear this morning? Did you hear him when you quietly sit waiting? Whew, thank you, Jesus. And I love what Dr. Stanley says. He says, set aside a block of time to quiet yourself before the Lord so you can hear from him clearly. Time for God this morning. Are you setting aside some quiet that you may hear from God? Because the soul is invested. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Give God faith in all that you do and watch him work for you. Ooh, praise the Lord, everybody. And it goes on to tell us in the next life lesson, Esther 6:10, take the robe and the horse, and you have subjected, and do so for Mordecai the Jew. God will make your enemy your footstool. It says God loves to use for good what men intend for evil. In doing so, he shows that he alone is sovereign. There is no other God but our God, and we don't bow down to any man. And understand this. I just thought about the ironicness of it. Haman had this decree done to kill the Jews because Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him. And what did God but make Haman bow down to Mordecai by having to walk through the kingdom, walk through the city with Mordecai on the king's horses, with the king's robe, and had to proclaim, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. And who the king delighted to honor was not you, Haman. It wasn't Haman or his ilk. It was a true man of God. God does not like ugly. And I'm going to just say that Jude ain't all that. Hallelujah. We got to stop and take a minute to spend it with God. And if you got an hour, spend that hour with God. We understand we can't be in our prayer closet all day because we got to go to work. We got to work for God. We can't just hang out. We got to get up, get moving, and go to work. Hallelujah. And in our psalm word this morning, it is Psalm chapter 90, verses 1 through 6. And it is a prayer. We understand, again, prayer changes our circumstances. Because God fulfills his promises. He's faithful to perform them. All we have to do is wait. Wait on the Lord, and he will fulfill the desires of your heart if it is his will. Hallelujah. And as we go to the word, it says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever, you have formed the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Oh, hallelujah. You turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight is like yesterday when it is past, and it's like a watch in the night. Ooh, that's a word by itself. Highlighted is just an equivalent scripture. Hallelujah. God is always there. And it tells us this, and I'm going to read it one more time. You turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of mine. Who do we belong to? We are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Why? Because we see it so. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like, they are like asleep. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. In the morning, it flourishes and grows up. In the evening, it is cut down and withered. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord, for this mighty rhema word this morning. Father God, we know you are faithful to fulfill your promises. And all we can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done and will do for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you're worthy of the glory, of the honor, of the praise. Hallelujah. The highest praise go to you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I just can't help myself. I'm feeling that this word is touching my heart. Hallelujah. And he said, and he who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he blesses, but for he gives of his bread to the poor. Hallelujah. The Lord will give the poor his last. We got to do the same. Sometimes you don't know what's going to happen. Tomorrow can do its will today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Dr. Stanley gave us a life lesson in Psalm 90, and it says, 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night, because God is infinite and inhabits eternity. Isaiah 57:5. He is not bound by the same constraints of time that limit and frustrate us. What seems like a delay to us, though, is, hallelujah, is right on time with God. And let's get into our chapter 4 of Romans, which is where our title is coming from. Oh, I just thank God this morning. I can't help myself. I'm just in a thankful mood because God woke me up this morning. And I tell you right now, I was sleeping good. I didn't have a restless spirit. I had an I'm knocked out spirit. But God, thanking God again that he is faithful to perform his promises. Hallelujah. He is faithful to perform them. God fulfills his promises. He is faithful to perform them is our title for today. God is faithful to perform all his promises. Whatever that God has for you, my sisters and my brothers, whatever it is, God has for you, is for you, and it's irrevocable. Nobody can take what God has for you. Say to God, Lord, show me what you got for me today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let me know what it is, God. For I am just your humble servant. We got to have a humble heart. We can't be all puffed up like Haman thinking we're going to kill everybody that looks like our mortal enemy, Mordecai. When Mordecai went on about his business, had his own life, and was not thinking about anybody but his children. So let's read the word that says that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as yet. But to him who does not work but believe on him who justifies the ungodly in his faith is accounted for righteousness, just as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from work. And you hear me say we got to go to work. And Paul is saying, well, you know, you do. But no, yes, we do have to go to work. But we work by the grace of God. It says, and then Paul is saying that to him who works, the wages, saying that, oh, well, you know, I know you're going to work. But God, yes, I am, and I'm going to continue going to work for God, but I understand that the work I do is not for wages. It's because I do it in love for God. And that's what Paul is saying, that whatever we do it in love for God, that we're not going to work for God just so we can count our wages of trying to get into heaven. Because you're not going to get in with works alone. That's what Paul is trying to say. You're not going to make it in with just works alone. And he says this, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, pretender, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute to him. So, what it is, yes, we're going to work, but we're going to work for salvation. We're going to work to believe that Jesus can and Jesus will. Hallelujah. And it says, does the blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or on the uncircumcised also. For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? Was he, while he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them alone, in honor of consecration to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith, which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. Because remember, Abraham was called before he got circumcision. Circumcision, like the rainbow, was a covenant with God. And it goes on to say, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of what? To have faith. Faith that, that mustard seed of faith that you can move mountains. That mustard seed of faith that all things work for good. That mustard seed of faith that my daddy God will never leave me or forsake me. Why? Because he loves me and he fulfills his promises. What God has for me is for me. Hallelujah. We got to believe that God fulfills his promise. He is faithful to perform them. Our God is faithful. Ooh, hallelujah. And as we continue in this word today, it is there for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. I said it again. Thank you, God. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is worse. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith. Did y'all catch that? We trying to be under the law when we need to be under faith. Hallelujah. That's what Paul said. Did he not say that? Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of God, whom he believes, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believes, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. Y'all remember that, right? He was about 100 years old, and Sarah's womb had been closed through their whole marriage. He went out and got him a side baby with Ishmael, but it was with his wife's clothing. It was with his wife's clothing. But that was not what God's plan was. God's plan was for Abraham to have a child with his wife. Now understand, whatever God says he will do will not always be in our time. Because we're thinking, I'm 99 years old. I'm 90 years old. I'm 100 years old. How am I going to have a baby? Everything all dried up. Sarah, 90 years old. And I'm sure she felt that she was too old to have a baby. Let's go to our word, though. And go back to Romans chapter 4, verse 20. Now, actually, we're going to go to verse number 19. And it goes on to say, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. There's that word again. Giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Hallelujah. What God has promised, he's able to fulfill. We got to know God is able to perform everything he's promised. Whatever God has promised you, if he promised you good health, then you're going to look down and be have a shimmy in your spirit because you got good everything because God promised to give it to you. Whatever God promises to heal, he will heal. Whatever God promises to do, he will do. That's God, that's who he is. Faithful to perform his promises. Our God is righteous. Our God is faithful. Our God is good. And I'm going to read this word again. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. God loved us. He loved us. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to who believe in him and who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up because of the offense, and was raised because of our justification. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for being faithful to perform everything you said. By faith, it will be fulfilled. By faith, it will be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for this great word this morning. And before we get out of here, some life lessons from Romans. And it says this in Romans 4 and 3. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Can I say it again? Are you believing God today for your miracle? Are you believing God to get today for whatever it was he promised you? Paul used the example of Abraham, who lived long before the Moses. I'm sorry, long before the Mosaic law, to show that the only way for any simple person to come into a right relationship with God is by grace through faith. Hallelujah. I got to read that again. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And Dr. Staley touched it down. Paul used the example of Abraham, who lived long before the Moses. Abraham lived before the Mosaic Law. Remember, the Mosaic Law didn't come until Exodus. The Mosaic Law didn't come, or start even, until Exodus. Until Moses came along. That's when the Mosaic Law started. Abraham lived under grace. He lived by the grace and the faith that God would provide. He had a faith relationship with God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And as it goes forth, it tells us right now, to show that the only way for any simple person to come into the right relationship with God is by grace through faith. Hallelujah. Romans 4:20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you giving God glory this morning? He woke you up, didn't he? He started you on your way, didn't he? God is good. Hallelujah. But you could have been gone and under your bed. Woo! Thank you, Lord. And as he continues this, he did not waver. I'm saying it again. At the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Now you think about it. God done told you he was going to give you seed, and you are 100 years old. Your wife is 90, and you're trying to figure out how God's going to give me a seed when my wife is 90 years old. Her inner parts have been, they've been sent to the pit way before now. She has nothing. What do you mean? She's 90 years old, Lord. My wife, who I love, she is 90 years old. How can we bring a child into this world? It's so hallelujah. God is faithful. He is always faithful. And as you get into our word that, what Dr. Sinner says, he waited until Abraham was 100 years old and his wife was 90, yet Abraham continued to believe. Can you dance with me this morning? Woo, just get out of my way so I can dance, because that is a shouting moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You are never alone, whatever you're going through. Just know that God is with you. Hallelujah. Romans 4:21, being fully convinced that what he had performed, he was also able to perform it. I'm sorry, let me go back, because this is where our word comes from today. Being fully convinced that what he had promised, what God has promised to us, God gave me faithful to perform it. Whatever God has for you, you can take to the bank. It is only for you. Hallelujah. And it says God never promises us anything that he can't deliver. Do we believe that? If we do, then it only makes sense to put our complete trust in him, regardless of how dark our conversations are right now. God is faithful for him. What he says he has for you. That is our word this morning. We got a word from our sister in Christ, which was right on point on yesterday. Hallelujah. Thanking God for his grace and for his mercy. And a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning is this. Good morning. You present situation is your present situation is not your final destination. The best is yet to come. Can you say amen with me? Good morning. Your present situation is not your final destination. The best is yet to come. Have a terrific Tuesday. What happened? Mordecai said in sackcloth and everything, because he knew that their time, as his time was coming, that Haman had set it up for him and everybody he knew in the Jewish community to die. Come on now. Present situation. There is a decree that is going to cause me to die. But what does God do? He sends an answer for such a time as this. Hallelujah. Who had already let God know, if I perish, I perish. It's all right, but we're going to get this thing going. And then you have do nothing but pray. You have all these situations ahead of you. You got your gallows ahead of you. You got annihilation ahead of you. But what happens? God will flip that script. What the enemy means for evil, God will turn it around for your good. Hallelujah. This is what happens to them that say the king, that have favor with the king. You who do evil. Haman, don't do want it the most, to be in the king's robe, to ride the king's horse, to be proclaimed as the second in command, had to do it for his mortal enemy. And why is he his enemy? Because he wouldn't bow down to it. Well, we don't bow to anybody but the Most High. Don't let anybody make you feel bad because you love God. God is in charge of our life. Love the Lord today with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, because I'm telling you, in all his ways, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And I tell you this, God will direct your path. God will take you through whatever you might be suffering with. God has got you. And our word that I tried to read yesterday, our prayer, is called suffering. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are my praise. Hallelujah. Did Esther go into fasting? She went into fasting because she wanted the Lord to save her and her people, because she wanted to praise him. Hallelujah. We got to give it all to God. Thank you, Lord. We appreciate you. We love you more than anything. And it goes on in this prayer to say, God of comfort, you are the presence that sustains my life. You are my healer. Hallelujah. I need your healing touch. If you need God's healing touch this morning, hear this prayer. And I'm going to say it again. God of comfort, you are the presence that sustains my life. You are my healer. I need your healing touch. You have been faithfully present with me all the days of my life. There was not a moment that you did not see me right where I was. When I look at my life, I see your fingerprints of grace all over it. Still, I cannot pretend not to see the suffering for moments when I endure what no one should. Give me eyes to see you in these parts. Hallelujah. When you're going through, you want God with you when you're going through. You don't want to be left alone when you're going through. All you can do is call on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. And it says, Lord, my heart receives a healing and restoration it so desperately needs. I trust that you will answer, even if the thought of these answers are now seem impossible or insufficient. Nothing is impossible with God. Don't hide the questions from you, knowing that you see them anyhow. I have experienced the power of the love in so many ways. I have experienced the power of your love in so many ways. Oh, I'm so grateful, God. I'm just so grateful. And I just want to finish this and say it says this. Lord, let my heart receive that healing and restoration it so desperately needs. I trust that you will answer, even if the thought of these answers now seem impossible or insufficient. I don't hide the questions from you, knowing that you see them anyhow. I have experienced the power of your love in so many areas. I now want to experience it in these hidden places. I give you my heart. Do your holy healing work in me. Hallelujah. And this is the word that God has given in this prayer. Will you let God in? God just let you stop it. Whatever you're going through, family, know that God's got you covered. He's got you covered from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. You belong to him, and he belongs to you, and he loves you more than anything. Whatever God has promised, I can tell you now, he is faithful to perform it. Trust in God today, trusting that he has you covered, knowing that you are a child of God. And as we wrap up, we pray. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and glorious day, knowing that God is in control of everything. Thank you, Father God. And I say to you this morning, family, be blessed. It's a wrap. Because we all got to do what we do for God. Go do whatever it is, even if it's just giving a smile. Give it 100% to God. Thank you all for listening in this morning. Please join me tomorrow. Woo! Because it's going to be a great word in Esther. It's going to be a great word in Romans. Join me tomorrow as we move forward in God's word. Thank you so much, family. So, wrap. It's time to go back to sleep because this is my day off. Hallelujah. So, thank you so much, family. And have a great day. Love you all. It's a wrap.